Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, welcome to the Mind Medicine program. I'm your host, Charles Coves, and we're bringing this to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm speaking to you from Melbourne, Australia, not Melbourne, Florida, where it's 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon. So on my reckoning, it must be 11 p.m. Friday night in Los Angeles and 8 a.m. Saturday morning in Central Europe. My guest in this hour, who I will introduce shortly, is Captain Shane Murdoch, experienced airline pilot. I'm, by way of background, a professional speaker and author and also CEO of a hemp company. This show is all about how and why mind matters and how to keep yours in great shape. Ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. Insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we are delighted to bring this program in association with Mind Medicine Australia that was founded 4 years ago by Tanya de Jong AM and Peter Hunt AM. And this charity was founded to enable patients with mental health problems to get access to two wonderful psychedelic drugs, psilocybin and MDMA, when administered by medical practitioners. And the good news is that these two psychedelic drugs have now been approved by the TGA in Australia for being prescribed by psychiatrists from the 1st of July. Now, this is big, big news. These two drugs have been proven to be far superior to the alternatives. And the tragedy is that it's taken years to have these drugs recognized for their efficacy. There have been 160 trials that indicate these medicines are safe and non-addictive when administered within a medically controlled environment and lead to remissions in 60 to 80% of patients after just 2 to 3 medicinal sessions in combination with psychotherapy. There have been no adverse events in thousands of patients. So Mind Medicine Australia has also commenced the first ever certificate in psychedelic therapies in the Southern Hemisphere. It's training health professionals of all types. The recent pandemic has exacerbated Australia's mental health epidemic, and these treatments have the potential to cure millions who are suffering. Please visit the website mindmedicineaustralia.org and spread the word. Your family and friends need these solutions to their health challenges. Now, I'm also interested in your overall health, and my definition of health comes from the Hungarian word for health, egészség, and the Hungarian language is very precise, and this word literally means wholeness. And so to give you a handle on what I mean by health, my definition is that health is the unique optimum balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. The unique optimum balance. You are a unique man, a unique woman. Your health, my health is different to your health, and what you need, the optimum balance for you, is different. So you come to this program each week at 4 p.m. to be reminded that there's very little that's more important than your health. Why would you sacrifice your health for the illusion of other things? Because when you are healthy, your energy levels go up, your impact on the planet is therefore able to go up. Energy is your ability to get things done. So please come to this show, send people to this show on TNT Radio to be reminded of this ongoing need. You see, you feed yourself 3 times a day, good. Well, feed your mind and feed your soul as well. This show is also about passion and its impact on your life and health. And I say to you that if you are pursuing your passion, you will have less mental health problems. Why? Because passion comes from your soul. Mental health problems come from your mind. And we have this battle in life between our soul journey and our mental journey. And the only place that fear comes from is your mind. There's no fear from your soul. So if your life is dominated by your soul, your spirit, your heart, your level of fear will drop. So please understand that spectrum. Look at how you live your life and go, do I want to live my life through fear? Now, before I introduce Captain Shane Murdoch to you, it's 4 p.m. here in Melbourne. I just want to say a couple of things that are mention a couple of things that are happening on the planet. The big news on the front pages of the paper today are that one of the former Prime Minister's key advisors, Fiona Brown, has now thrown a bomb and accused him of misleading Parliament, Scott Morrison, this is, in a Brittany Higgins rape case. And it's been reported that Brittany Higgins was paid $3 million and her case collapsed. Bruce Lerman, who she accused of raping him, he's denied even having sex with her. And this is a huge, huge bombshell because the disgusting steps that have been taken and the idea that any woman who complains of rape must be believed. Just understand what this is about. I was a lawyer for 20 years. I qualified in law 50 years ago, this year. So there's some shifties going on, and you need to understand, and there's a classic line, you know, how do you know a politician is lying? His lips are moving. So please take an interest in this. Now, at the same time, the transgender game is happening. So also on the front page of The Australian today is a psychiatrist, Gillian Spencer, in the Queensland Health Service, who's being stood down because she dares to give proper advice to her patients and she doesn't just follow the transgender narrative. And I urge you to think about who is driving this transgender narrative. You think about it. This didn't exist 10 years ago. There's somebody making money out of this. And I've seen a documentary that says the value to a pharmaceutical company of each transitioned person, the lifetime value of drugs supplied to a transition person is between $7 to $8 million. All right? That's what's driving this agenda, I say. I say the games that are being played with our young people on this gender dysphoria are disgraceful, disgusting, and there are many doctors who are scared to speak up about it. I urge those doctors to speak up about it. The dying suddenly syndrome in Australia is continuing. All the data around Australia and the rest of the world shows excess deaths absolutely going through the roof. And Shane Murdoch is going to be talking to us about pilots being damaged, pilots dying suddenly. I urge you to take an interest in the affairs of your local council. This whole idea of smart cities and 15-minute cities is an evil attempt to create 15-minute ghettos. I've studied this deeply. This is part of the United Nations Agenda 2030 to lock you into an area that we're no further than 15 minutes walking distance from your home, sold to you as a wonderful initiative. I call BS on this. There are many other things I can talk about. I might have time later, but I doubt it. But I urge you to spread the TNT radio message. Bring people to this station. This is a place of free speech. This is a place of freedom, free ideas, and you won't get censored news on this station, certainly not on my program. Remember that connecting with other human beings is a crucial idea to our strength. In unity and alliance with other human beings, we can push back against corrupt governments, and that's what I see happening. Lastly, oppose CBDC, central bank digital currencies. Use cash as much as possible. I do all the time, and I hand over a little note that says, I'm paying with cash because I want to keep cash alive. I urge you to have a desire to keep cash alive. All right. Captain Shane Murdoch, 40-plus years as a pilot. He is also a South African bush man who can take people on tours. He's also a ship captain. He's also a man of many other – he's also a master chef. Shane Murdoch, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Carls. It's lovely to be here.
Now, come a little bit closer to the microphone. So you lost your job as a Virgin pilot, a very successful Virgin pilot, because you refused to be jabbed. I honour you for that. Can you give us an idea of your qualifications? Because we're going to be talking about safety in airlines, and you were willing to stand up for your principles where many pilots were not. So just give us an understanding of how deeply trained you are, and particularly in safety aspects.
Then, Charles, I might just correct you first. I never, ever said to the airline that I wouldn't take the jab. I continually sent
Thank you for that. Yes, very good. Yeah, go on. Thank you.
Hang on, Shane.
It's very quiet on your, for some reason. I don't know why.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So, I never refused to take the vaccine. I just had lots and lots of questions about it. My as you said, I've been a pilot since 1980, commercial pilot. I have a master's degree in human factors, aviation safety. I have two certificates in air accident investigation, one issued by the ATSB here in Australia, and one from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. I taught human factors at one of the airlines I worked at, and did actually run the training department in that area for about 5 years, writing material for delivery to pilots as part of their requalification programs.
Wow. I mean, that is an extraordinarily deep understanding of safety. So you have told me in conversations that we've had that there are significant dangers happening in the aviation industry. Can you give us an understanding of what's happening to pilots and what's happening to safety indicators? You've done a lot of research on this. And how does all this work?
Charles, you would know that I've actually written a paper about this very thing that's so far unpublished. However, as an investigator, we understand that quite often there's no physical evidence to go from. So you have to make correlations between other pieces of information to build the history. Whether you're an air accident investigator, whether you're a policeman, a detective, a fire investigator, sometimes you actually have to look for correlations. So I started doing that. There were some very startling statistics coming out. Not the least, the first was the massive rise in all-cause mortality after the COVID jab was introduced. That's peaked at about 18%, and I think it's consistently now 16% higher than the five-year average in Australia. Ralph Babbitt actually stated in Senate estimates that that's the equivalent of 2 737s going down 5 days a week every day of the year in Australia.
Wow! What a great indicator, just to give people a sense of how many deaths that is. Yep.
So that was the first red flag for me. So I went searching, and there's a bot that tracks every time an aircraft somewhere in the world squawks 7,700. So for those people that don't know what I'm talking about. Aircraft have discrete radio transmitters to which they dial in a discrete code. That's how air traffic control follow the aircraft on radar. So squawk codes are assigned to a flight before departure. The four digits can be between 0 and 7. And reserve codes are used in particular situations when an aircraft wants to communicate something to ATC or air traffic control urgently. The most well-known of these is the code 7700. This is used to indicate an emergency of any kind. A pilot will enter this in an emergency situation, either instructed by air traffic control after declaring an emergency or without communication when there's no time. This will clearly inform all tracking ground controllers that the aircraft has a serious issue on board and should be given appropriate assistance. So that's what a squawk of 7700 is. So I tracked some data off this bot, and the sorts of things that you would squawk 7700 for in an aircraft emergency, it would be something like an uncontained fire in the cargo compartment. Undercarriage wouldn't come down. But what is of interest to us is it also embraces pilot incapacitations. So I looked at this data, and this gentleman in the US published a couple of graphs to show what's actually happened since November 15, which is when all airlines across the world mandated the vaccine, to squawk 7,700 monthly frequencies. And in the year 2020, there was a 272% increase in squawking 7,700. Now, that's bad.
Yep. Because these emergencies, these Mayday, 7,700 is only when it's a serious issue, correct?
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. This is the highest level of emergency, isn't it?
Well, there's two levels of emergency. There's a PAN, which is an uncertain phase, and then there's a Mayday, which is an absolute emergency. All right.
And we're talking absolute emergency now, 7,700.
Yeah. So, remarkably, for the first 3 months of 2023, showed a 386% increase in squawk 7,700 globally.
Wow.
So that was enough for me to write the paper. But even as recently as a few days ago, under freedom of information by one of my colleagues, we obtained some more information from our own regulator of aviation in Australia, CASA. There's a situation where a professional pilot might have a medical issue that precludes him from flying alone. He must at all times have another pilot with him, or a safety pilot, or have a proximity to an airport limitation placed on his license. Okay? So that would mean that they hold a medical condition that might see them have a incapacitation in flight. That's why they need the second pilot on their license.
Yep.
So incredibly, in their financial year 21-22, there were 78 of these licenses, professional pilot licenses, converted to a multi-crew license. In 22-23, there were 239. That is, in fact, a 128% increase in multi-crew license provisions on professional pilots in Australia. 128% increase.
Yeah. And that's because these pilots have been injured, Shane.
Well, that's where we make the correlation.
Yep.
You know, the only reason CASA would issue or convert a normal ATPL, airline transport pilot license, to a multi-crew license is if that particular pilot has a medical issue that might see an incapacitation.
Very good. Well, we're going to go to a break, Shane, for a couple of minutes. But after we come back from the break, the question that I have for you is CASA, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, doing its job? You're on the Mind Medicine program. I'm with Captain Shane Murdoch, a man who has got a very interesting story, a very experienced pilot, talking about aviation. And I'm Charles Kovess, your host. We'll be back after these messages.
You should hear what Katie Hopkins is talking about.
The UK's most, I'm reading, senior climate advisor, imagine having that title, has strongly endorsed Labour's vow to halt new oil and gas exploration in the North Sea. So John Gummer, who is Lord Devon, and he chairs the Statutory Committee on Climate Change. God, it just sounds more and more communist the more you read this stuff, doesn't it? He says, I welcome the policy. I'm absolutely in favour of it, and it's the right thing to do. You notice how these people, just because they're called Lord, get to dictate what is the right thing to do? You know, who is the arbiter of right and wrong? It certainly isn't a politician any day of the week, is it? But essentially, he is promoting, pushing, paid, undoubtedly, to shut down oil and gas so that no one can have a nationalized oil and gas supply, because we know that energy independence is the massive first step towards national independence. And that's, of course, one of the reasons why Trump had to be crucified, because for the first time in generations, America was oil and gas independent, which is why the first thing Biden did was shut down the pipeline and all of the jobs and all of the families that relied on it.
Katie Hopkins on TNT Radio.
Nurses United Against Human Trafficking is an organization founded by two nurses who are driven to abolish modern-day slavery. Our mission is to embolden and empower nurses by establishing best practices and standards of care for this vulnerable and invisible population. We're committed to eradicating human trafficking by raising awareness, providing education and resources, and participating in advocacy efforts. Nurses United Against Human Trafficking has an aim of developing and empowering nursing experts and healthcare professionals throughout the country and around the world. Help join the fight in eradicating human trafficking. Visit nuaht.org to find out about becoming a member. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Yes, this is the place where we are, lighting the fuse for freedom. I'm Charles Coves, your host on the Mind Medicine program. I'm with Captain Shane Murdoch, I have to say, former Virgin pilot, although it's a strange thing calling you a Virgin pilot with 40 plus years of flying. We've been talking about the extraordinary increase in Mayday calls from pilots around the world, the number of restrictions that are being put on pilots, which appear to be health related. The question that I have for you, Shane, is CASA, C-A-S-A, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, doing its job?
Clearly they're not, Charles. And we have made many approaches, myself and colleagues, to CASA for explanations of what's going on. We've had Senator Roberts in Senate Estimates question CASA, but they just... defer responsibility. We've also tried to lodge complaints against CASA. They won't accept complaints. We've taken it as far as the Ombudsman. The Ombudsman rejected it as well. So we can't actually make a formal complaint against a bureaucracy that clearly is not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing.
It's just remarkable, because everywhere we look, there's all this safety stuff, you know. Lockdowns were all about safety, Shane, and you're saying that CASA is not doing its job on safety. Indeed, the issue that arose from our conversations was that you as a pilot, you are not allowed to put something into your body that's not approved.
Absolutely not. And, you know, it's either complicity or incompetence. You know, through my studies as an air accident investigator, I'm very cognizant of what's in ICAO annexes. ICAO is the International Civil Aviation Organization formed after World War II under the Geneva Convention. They set out tenant recommendations for each member state, that's all Western countries, to write their own civil aviation acts, regulations, and orders from. So they set standards. Now, these aren't legally binding standards, but they're recommended standards. So as an indication, the booklet given to DAMEs, which are designated aviation medical examiners, states that any new medication to market for cannot be administered to pilots until it's fully approved. So these vaccines in Australia are provisionally approved, they're not fully approved, and have been in the free market for at least a year. These are the recommendations to aviation medical examiners in the entire Western world. So our CASA, for some reason, has lowered those standards. The FAA, which is the Federal Aviation Administration in America, unbeknownst to the rest of the industry, pilots need to have an ECG as part of their regular medical. And the parameters for that, I forget what the actual indexes are, but it was from 0.25 to 1.5. So your ECG had to lie within that to maintain your class one medical. They increased that from 0.25 to 3. So you could be virtually having a cardiac arrest on the surgery floor and still pass your class one medical. The only reason for that would be that they know that there are significant heart issues in the pilot fraternity.
Yep. Yep. It's a deep concern. Just that they've changed, they're slackening the rules. And you have told me that pilots are amongst the healthiest people on the planet because nobody gets as many medical checks as pilots.
That's correct. We do get checked very, very regularly. And the interesting thing, when we do our medical, the DAMI, the Designated Aviation Medical Examiner, is looking for subclinical issues, things that aren't necessarily obvious. That's why we do ECGs and blood tests and glucose level checks. That's why we do those sorts of things to monitor subclinical health issues that might affect your license. Mm. So here we have correlative data indicating that in the greater community, we have 16% higher mortality rate. We have 386% increase in 7,700 squawks globally, and a 128% increase from CASA themselves in multi-crew license issues. They're clearly incompetent or complicit. And unfortunately, our pilot unions haven't been helpful. They've been complicit by their inactivity in helping the pilots through this issue.
Well,
I might also say CASA rely on pilot self-reporting issues. Okay.
Yeah.
So if a pilot is aware that they have a health issue that may quite well bell the end of their career, are going to be very reticent to do so, and particularly because the pilot unions who underwrite our loss of license insurance, I know one has said they won't insure pilots for long COVID. However, all decisions in regard to payouts are conducted by a board within that union, and the other union, which is underwritten by Lloyd's of London, clearly state they will not pay out for adverse reactions from any vaccine.
From any COVID vaccine.
COVID vaccine. So pilots aren't going to report when they know they'll lose their medical, lose their career, not get a payout from their insurance. Why would they?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, wow.
It sets it up for an enormous issue. And quite frankly, my opinion is we need to introduce more specific testing in pilot medicals, and I'll go through them shortly.
Yep.
And if pilots who have been mandated to take this vaccine, and I know, you know, people have mortgages and children and everything else, there's a myriad of reasons why people didn't say no, their lives need to be protected. These people, that these corporations that have mandated these vaccines need to pay these pilots if they lose their licenses for life.
Yes, and we'll talk about that, but it seems to me that these pilots have got a claim against the airlines that required them to have these dangerous, I don't call them vaccines, I call them jabs, remember, or these bioweapons.
Correct, yes.
And so what are these tests for pilots, Shane? You've got a list here. This is important, everybody, that And this also is relevant to people who are suffering. You know, they go, why am I feeling unwell? I've been jabbed. These would be the same tests, wouldn't they, that are relevant to other people?
Yes, they are. And once again, some of these tests are quite expensive. Well, that should be paid for by the employer. They're the ones that have made these people go and get these jabs. So, you know, there needs to be radiology and cardiology studies done. We need a gadolinium MRI scan of the heart for a start. We need an MRI scan of the brain. We need a resting ECG plus a stress echocardiography. We need chest x-rays. That's the radiology and cardiology aspect of it. But, you know, pilots, we work and live in a blood clot-rich environment. When you get on an aircraft, they talk about deep venous thrombosis.
Yep, DVT. Yep.
DVT. So there also needs to be blood studies done. A biochemical profile, COVID immunology check, a full blood count plus high sensitivity CRP and ESR, and at least a D-dimer.
Yep, D-dimers, everybody. Please take note of that. Listen, if you missed it, listen to the recording, because these are crucially important tests to understand what's happening with your body. Any other recommended specific tests?
There's a BNP. It's a B-type natriuretic peptide check, a fibrinogen check, and troponins, and a general immunology analysis, CD4 and CD8.
Beautiful.
And those should be incorporated immediately into all pilot medicals, and it must be paid for by the employer, because they are the ones that impose this on them. And if they lose their medicals and their career, because they're not going to get their insurance, the airlines, the people that impose this, must pay these people until the end of their careers or life.
Yes, well said, Shane. That's the ground rules. They've been damaged, and that also applies to all other professions. If you've been damaged from these jabs, you must, I urge you to take action. There are lawyers that can help you, and, you know, get in touch. I practiced law, as you've heard earlier, for many years. Shane, let's turn to you. Why have you lost your job as a cap? Why have you lost the job that you are passionate about, that you loved? You love being a captain. What happened?
I was unvaccinated for the COVID-19 vaccine at the stipulated time frame. I never, and none of us in my legal case that we're running, have ever said we would not have the vaccine. Because of my investigation background and academic safety studies, persistently requested from the airline a copy of their SDS and a copy of their risk assessment they'd done for my particular work environment. It never came, of course. Interesting enough, in my particular case, I went to get the vaccination on the 17th of December, 2021. Mm-hmm. And I sat down in the chair. I went to a doctor and I went to a pharmacist. At separate times, of course. And I said, well, I'm here to get the vaccination for COVID-19. I'm fully informed. But you need to know that I'm only here because my employer's threatening with sacking me if I don't get it. And I saw them sort of flinch a bit. And unfortunately for them, I'm pretty well read. So I then went on to say the immunisation regulation guidelines in Australia have a legal requirement on you to acquire valid consent from me before we proceed with this procedure. They said, yeah, that's quite right. And I said, valid consent is invalidated, in fact, if I'm coerced, is it not? They said, yes, it is. And I said, well, will you vaccinate me? And they said, no, we can't. And I got that in writing and I sent it to my employer. 6 weeks later, they terminated me.
Wow. You went for the jab, you told them you're under coercion. The pharmacist or the doctor refused to jab you because they, in fact, were prohibited from jabbing you.
Correct. And valid consent is distinct from informed consent. Informed consent is where you've got to know what's in the vaccine and you give full voluntary permission for the procedure to go ahead. Valid consent rests with the practitioner. They are required to assess whether you are doing it of your own free will.
Yep. That's an important distinction, everybody, those two terms, informed consent and you know, you can have informed consent, Shane, where you go, because many of us have had other vaccines where we don't know what's in there. We go, yes, we're willing to take the risk. And so you turn up, I'm willing to take the risk, but I'm here under coercion. I want to keep my job. Then that, from the dispensing professional's perspective, that's not valid consent and they're not allowed to jab you by law.
That's correct, Charles. And one of our arguments in our case is an unlawful direction. So if you're given a direction from your employer, which is clearly coercive, I would have to commit fraud by not with withholding information to the medical practitioner to comply with the direction. So in that respect, the direction itself is unlawful because it can't legally be complied with.
That's correct. And the example that I use of an unlawful direction, companies can call something a policy, but of course there are EBAs all around Australia, and then companies get around that by saying, oh, we've got a new policy. Well, our policy, Shane, is that we need you to go and murder somebody. That's our policy. Yeah. Well, that is an unlawful direction. You have no, it's of no impact on you. You do not have to follow that and you can't be sacked for it. Now, you were sacked, so tell us what your case is about. And, you know, you're seeking financial support for this case, but first tell us about the case.
Okay, so I'm leading a group of 17 individuals who were terminated from Virgin and Jetstar. And I've got to say, I'm enormously proud of them, each and every one of them. They've stood up and they're very brave for what they're doing. Anyway, we commenced action. We went through the Fair Work Commission first, as everyone does. So we commenced action against the companies, I think, in March last year. We've got it to the Federal Court of New South Wales now, and the tenants of our case are around the legality of breach of contract and an unlawful direction. It seems historically where people have argued medical efficacy and everything else, those cases have failed. So our case is about the legality of what took place. We recently contested a throwout application by the airlines and they failed in their attempt. We're refiling to the court. And I can probably say with a reasonable amount of confidence, we've picked up at least 26 Qantas, ex-Qantas employees in the last couple of days to join our case moving ahead. So the case is now three times the size it was.
Wonderful.
The applicant number.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so how can people support you? It's on GiveSendGo, isn't it?
It's on GiveSendGo. I emailed the link to you earlier, and it's called Fight for Freedom. And people need to understand, and we understand as well, people are so fatigued about donating to this and donating to that. But my group of 17, you know, they were baggage handlers, check-in staff, cabin crew. I'm one of two pilots in the group. People are borrowing money, selling houses, cashing out their super to run this case. It is such an important case. If we get this precedent that we are trying to achieve, it's going to provide a tool for every person that suffered under a mandate, whether they took the vaccine to keep their job or they were terminated, it's going to give them a tool to sue their employer.
Yes, that's very important, everybody. This is for every employee who lost their job for failing to follow this unlawful direction, you know, being forced to take this jab. And I've spoken to many people who haven't thought about it, but I've also spoken to a lot of people, and I say to them, why did you take this jab? And the answer was, well, because I had to keep my job. And that's coercion. The only reason why you take it is because of coercion. So give, send, go. Is it fight for freedom or flight for freedom?
Fight for freedom.
Flight for freedom. Very good.
Fight.
So go.
No, fight.
Fight. Okay. Fight. So anything, every $10, every $10 helps. Okay, Shane, we've got to go to, I'm with Shane, Captain Shane Murdoch, former Virgin pilot, highly qualified pilot, by the way, who is available to fly your private jet. We'll talk about private jets flying to Davos after the break. We're going to go to a break. I'm Charles Coves. This is the Mind Medicine Program. You're on TNT Radio, and this is the place for freedom, and Shane is a freedom warrior.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Last Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley participated in another CNN town hall event. According to Mediaite, Donald Trump's town hall with Caitlin Collins last month brought in about 3.3 million total viewers and 780,000 demo viewers between the ages of 25 and 54. That's more than five times the average primetime audience that CNN had during the month of May. Haley's event, moderated by Jake Tapper, brought in 562,000 total viewers and 136,000 viewers in the demo, an 83% drop in viewership in total audience compared to Trump. Fox News doubled the Haley town hall. It's kind of sad, really, yet most telling. Nikki Haley, a former governor and U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, she's vibrant, attractive, and polished, in addition to having a lot of good common sense ideas, and yet Trump's audience blew hers away. By the way, believe it or not, according to Yahoo News, CNN's 2020 town hall with Joe Biden remains the network's most watched single candidate town hall with nearly 3.5 million total viewers. Go figure. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Exponentially increasing battery production is said to be necessary for a green transition, but this will damage economies for no genuine environmental gain. The mining and processing of metals necessary for batteries causes significant environmental damage. Acids used for water leaching in processing lithium poisons rivers. Pollution from cobalt mining is linked to birth defects. Global lithium production has more than doubled since 2016. The September 2019 World Economic Forum report forecasted a 14-fold growth in global battery demand by 2030. The ugly truth is that exponentially increasing battery production has expanded a new form of slavery. For instance, most cobalt used in batteries is sourced from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where many mines use child labor. Mega batteries planned to store electricity from wind turbines and solar panels will make electricity unaffordable.
This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Coves, your host. My guest is Captain Shane Murdoch. And I point out that after this show finishes on the hour, my friend Alistair Pope will be the interview for the next program. And he is well worth listening to. He is a defense expert. And here we've been talking about aviation. Well, the whole military and the defense have been attacked with these mandates that we're talking about with Shane Murdoch. And understanding the decimation of the military globally is a most important factor in your own thinking. So listen in to Alistair Pope after the hour. Now, Shane Murdoch, we were talking about the attendees at Davos in Switzerland and their arrivals in private planes. What do you know about their pilots and whether they were jabbed?
I would suggest not. In fact, a lot of charter executive jet operators in America are now stipulating they want unvaccinated pilots because their clients are requesting it.
Wow.
Can I just say something to Charles just before?
You can say anything you like, Shane. This is a free speech, except you're not allowed to swear, as you know.
Okay. Well, in regard to our case, I really have to say we're with AFL solicitors. Tony Nicolick and I both ran for federal parliament under the same banner. So we've had a relationship for quite some time. And Tony and his team, Matthew Hopkins and Shane, absolutely believe in our case. And they are pulling out all the stops to help us in every way they possibly can. Great guys. And they're fighters. They're fighting this as we are. And I just wanted to say and acknowledge that. Great team of lawyers doing great work.
Shane, that's very kind of you. It is expensive running court cases, and you know the other side has got unlimited pockets, hasn't it? It wants to take you guys to the cleaners.
Well, justice shouldn't be only available to those that can afford it.
Yes, and you saw that with the Ben Robert Smith case. You know the defamation case brought by the Victoria Cross winner against Channel 9 that he lost. Now, how can a case, the combined costs of both parties are said to be $40 million on a defamation case?
Well, someone's making a lot of money out of that.
Indeed, I don't think there's any discounted. I don't think there's any discounted legal fees. Now, Shane, I've got a couple of other questions for you, but is there anything that we haven't covered yet that we needed to? So we've got the pilots, the number of injuries of pilots. We've got pilots retiring. We've got pilots scared to speak up because it's a self-reporting mechanism. And you have recommended, and we'll make available to anybody who wants this list of tests that pilots should be taking, but also others should be taking, because people are not making the link between their state of poor health and the jabs that they have had. And here's the other problem. They've also had one or two COVID jabs, and then they're going to get these boosters. And they go in their mind, well, the first two didn't hurt me. Therefore, if I've had the third and the fourth and the fifth shot, then that can't be hurting me as well. So my problems must be coming from somewhere else.
The sinister part about all this is in regard to aviation is particularly with the issues around the heart, with myocarditis and pericarditis, they're subclinical, so there's no symptoms. The first you know you've got myocarditis is when you've just died. Now, if you're the captain of the airplane of landing it on a particularly nasty night, say coming into Melbourne with a cold front going through and winds up to 40 knots across crosswind, and you have a heart attack at 30 feet, right? And you die suddenly. it's all over.
Yep.
I can tell you that one of the major airlines in Australia, I'll say it, Qantas, have had a policy. They may still have a policy that crosswinds above 20 knots can only be flown, crosswind landings can only be flown by the captain. That means potentially you've got a first officer sitting there that's never physically landed an aeroplane in a 40-knot crosswind, and here you are 20 feet off the ground, 40-knot crosswind, the captain's just had a heart attack.
Yeah, wow. Wow. So how difficult... Give us an idea of how, you know, the skill that you have developed over 40 plus years of flying to land a plane. I've been in a light plane, in a aero commander in the 70s, in a pretty strong crosswind landing in Launceston with a very competent pilot, I might say, one of my friends, my daughter's godfather. He and I played water polo together. Is it difficult over, you know, 40 kilometer crosswind?
You must have a high level of hand-eye coordination. However, we are trained to that level. I know where I was at Virgin, the first officers were trained to land in a 40-knot crosswind. However, generally speaking, you know, the captain has more experience both on type and in the industry. you become sly old dogs with age, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know all the tricks, and you know you've seen all the blues, all the mistakes. I've lost, I think, 16 or is it 18 friends and acquaintances during my career in aviation accidents. Every one of those was an opportunity to learn something, and that's what spiked my interest in studying human factors. Mm. You know, you can be a very average pilot and still land a 40 knot crosswind, but it's something you have to practice.
Yep. Yep. And so, Graham, when would you have to, I think of Graham Hood, but, you know, when would you have to retire in the normal course? What's the retirement age for pilots?
In Australia, as long as I hold my Class 1 medical, I can continue to fly. I had two colleagues at Virgin that didn't retire until they were 72 years of age.
Wonderful.
American airspace is a little different. There's a requirement in American airspace. You can't be a captain of an airliner over 65. But given their rate of attrition out of the industry now, I think that might be reviewed. And certainly, if we can somehow get our regulators to enforce these medical tests to be done, some people are saying as many as 30% of commercial pilots will lose their medicals.
Yes. Yes, everybody, please understand that there's proper tests being done on pilots who have had these COVID jabs. They are not in good shape. And we need to understand this, and we need to push back, and we need the public. So what should the public be doing here, Shane? What do you recommend?
Well, like I said earlier in the conversation, you know, we've tried complaining directly to CASA. We've taken as far as the ombudsman. All blank walls. So what will bring the wall down is public sentiment, public inquiry. What that looks like, I'm not sure. Maybe when you're making your next booking, can you ask the booking clerk whether your pilot will be vaccinated or unvaccinated?
Very good. Great question. Great question. And indeed, I've had it suggested, I'm trying to remember in which forum, that what you do is you, in fact, book a flight, get your luggage onto the go with luggage, and then at the boarding gate, ask, is the pilot jabbed or not? If yeah. the pilot is not jabbed, no, I don't want to fly with this pilot because I'm concerned about my safety.
Well, unfortunately, I can tell you that every airline pilot flying in Australia right now has complied with the mandates.
Ah, so they're all jabbed. Is that okay? That's interesting. But I just saw something that Qantas is relaxing the mandates or not?
Qantas, I believe, anecdotally, I have heard, are re-employing stood down unvaccinated pilots. That's stood down, though, not terminated.
Yep, yep. So how do you deal?
Also, while we're talking about that, yep. I subscribe to a couple of career websites overseas, and Qantas is actively advertising to recruit pilots in South Africa, offering full visas to come to Australia to fly. And there are pilots like myself. I still have everything still current. I have a current Class 1 medical, more than employable in Australia. Qantas are going overseas and employing overseas pilots and bringing them here and giving them full visas.
Wow. Wow. We need to – that's worth publishing far and wide. When we do a big presentation, Shane, on your research – which I'm really keen to do, but bringing in pilots rather than employing people like you, what's your sense of how many pilots there are like you who didn't refuse to be jabbed, who couldn't be lawfully jabbed?
Unfortunately, not as many as you would hope.
Oh, bugger.
And I know there was about 12 or 15 of us at Virgin. I'm not sure on the numbers at Jetstar or Qantas, but it would probably run to about 1 or 2%.
Okay, not many. All right, well, importing pilots, because obviously there are pilots in trouble. Last question, because we're going to run out of time as usual. Shane, how do you handle the mental stresses of 150, 200 lives under your guide, under your control?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Charles. But, you know, if my airliner crashes, I'm the first on the scene. I have a vested interest. I want to save my neck as well. And I have a family to come home to.
Well, that's very comforting for all of us. Thank you, Shane Murdoch. I support your fight, everybody. If you can go to Give, Send, Go on Fight for Freedom, support Shane's case. AFL solicitors are doing a good job there. And Shane, keep spreading the word, because the safety of aviation is crucial, and these pilots have been badly treated. Thank you for joining us on the Mind Medicine program, and good luck with your fight. And everybody else, spread the word about TNT Radio. This is the place for freedom. This is the place for truth. Use cash, buy from your local small business, support small business, and together we can push back against the globalist agenda, which is designed to take away your freedom. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.